Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to wrap up the week just looking at some of the key themes I've been touching on throughout the week. I just want to mention as well, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there, and best way to access these radio shows, my show, Sister Ann Shields programs, our television programs, and the things we're producing at Renewal Ministries is just to download the Renewal Ministries app. Then you can listen to these programs whenever it's convenient for you. Then I want to encourage you to do the same with the Ave Maria app. There's just so many good programs there. It's nice to be able to listen to them when it's convenient for you. These shows are on pretty early in the morning. But this week I've been talking about a series of themes. The fear of the Lord and the glory of God are two things we've been touching on this week. And really praying, and the reason I touched on them is to help us to pray that the Lord would bless the church with the holy fear of God, that he would do whatever is needed for the church to really come into the freedom and the power and the deliverance that comes in the human heart that breaks the power of sin, that breaks things that are choking off the life or strongholds that individuals or even larger groupings within the church, even among leaders that are trapped in strongholds of sin and habit patterns that are stealing, even if they're not what looks like serious sin or mortal sin, but habit patterns of lukewarmness, which, you know, that's not good in the eyes of God, and it's probably a mortal sin too, I don't know, but it's ways of being and living that are holding us back from radically walking in the first and second commandments, to radically walking out love for God and belonging to God in our battle against sin. One of the things we see here at the end of the week, both yesterday and today, in Matthew 5, which are presented as the gospel readings yesterday and today. Yesterday was the story of the parable of the faithful and wise servant. These are teachings that are set at the Last Supper or at the end of Jesus's time with the apostles. And he's talking to them about the end times. He's talking to them about what is going to come and the trial that the church is going to undergo and the tribulation and the battle. But also he's warning in love. He's saying, look, here's the kind of things that people are going to struggle with, and you need to be alert and awake that you don't get trapped in it. So yesterday was a call to diligence, a call to being a faithful servant. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house? Jesus asked. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing, you know, when the Lord returns. All the things the master has called you to just stay faithful, to stay at it, to be diligent. But he says, but if that servant, that evil servant says in his heart, my master's delaying, and begins to beat his servants and to drink with the drunkards, the master will cut him in two, it says, and appoint him his portion among the hypocrites. Jesus is talking about giving us an image there. He's the master who gives to all of us responsibility as disciples and vocations and a call and a way of life we're all meant to live. And living in a fallen world and being fallen people, we can be tempted if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant, if we're not diligent in seeking the face of God and making use of the things, or is that the best term? Receiving what the Lord gives us to strengthen us. Regular sacramental life, daily prayer, you know, things, praying the rosary, reading the scripture, being engaged in the mission of the church, being at the service of those in need, giving our time, talent, and treasure in right order to the things that matter most in the heart and mind of God, and really abiding in the Lord so that we can bear fruit in our lives. And it's over time that diligence, that commitment that Jesus is requiring of us can easily fall away. We can be deceptive. Our flesh can lead us astray. We can give up in the face of struggles. We can give in to temptations. And before you know it, we find ourselves as servants, not serving the king and the responsibilities that he's given to us, but we're distracted with drinking and carousing and a whole list of vices that are talked about in the New Testament can actually happen. There's lots of baptized people. You see it statistically, you know, in many studies that in many ways, there's large numbers of the Catholic community, the Christian community, who live no differently statistically on the major moral issues of our time than those who don't even believe in God. So this is partly what Jesus is talking about, but he wants us to see there's consequences. And he makes it clear in these chapters, we don't know when the Lord's going to return, so it requires in us a vigilance. And this is what love should do anyway. As Augustine would say, we're celebrating today the Feast of St. Augustine, love knows no fatigue. I mean, ultimately what he meant is that love just keeps pressing in. It just keeps going no matter what the cost. A loving mom who's caring for sick children day after day and night after night, fulfilling the vocation in that moment, doing a thing of that love just keeps bringing her day and night at the service of her children. It's one of those beautiful witnesses to love in the whole world, actually. But that's what Augustine meant. Love knows no fatigue. And Jesus is at the heart of what it means to be a servant. Jesus did say to us, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friends. And he said, I love you the way the Father loves me. And the Father loves you the way he loves me. And I want you to come and I want you to live in that love. And that love will strengthen you to live the life that my Father has created you for. So it was yesterday. And today, it's the parable of the 10 virgins, which emphasizes the need to cultivate the very intimacy that I'm talking about in relationship to Christ. You know, the stories, the 10 virgins are there meant to, you know, wait for the bride. They're with the bride. The bridegroom comes and they're going to walk through the village. They've got lamps burning to walk through the village to go to the celebration. There's a week-long celebration that happened in those days. What a great way to celebrate marriage. Can you imagine like shutting down for a whole week and just celebrating and feasting? That sounds like a good idea. But there were 10 virgins and the bridegroom was late in coming and 5 of the virgins ran out of oil. And it's partly symbolic about what we're meant to be. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride, right? And each one of us are meant to have our lamps burning. And the lamps and the oil means, as meant, different commentators have said different things. Some even say it, you know, it's the oil is our spiritual gifts. But at the heart of it is intimacy with Christ. And what helps us stay awake spiritually and ready for the bridegroom is the deep, intimate love of living with him in the power of the Holy Spirit, having real prayer, real intimacy with God, and our hearts cry out, you know, the Spirit and the bride say, come, which is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. So you think about St. Augustine, I mean, there's so much that could be said about St. Augustine, but there's a brother, there's a man whose heart fell so deeply in love with Christ, and it came through the miracle of the simple taking up the word in his backyard and God speaking to him about his own sinful, you know, enslavement and how the Lord wanted to free him. As he read the passage, the Spirit of God touched him and he was so filled with gratitude and love, and look what flowed out of him as he continued to press into it and he gathered other people around his radical love for Jesus. He was just living from that love. He was gathering other people around it. And of course, then his natural gifting over time just spilled over with the grace of the Holy Spirit into such amazing teaching that still touches our lives today. So one of the things to take away from this week as we think about the fear of the Lord, which is such a bulwark against sin, lukewarmness, foolishness, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, wisdom is the loftiest gift that Isaiah talks about, of the 7 gifts that he gives to us in Isaiah chapter 11. It helps us to learn and to judge all things in relation to God, who's the first and the last, the cause, the beginning, and the end of all things, to live wisely. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of men, the fear of the devil, the fear of other things is going to lead you to foolishness and stupidity. It's going to be a foolish life, not a wise life. We're going to call things that are secondary primary. We're going to be easily deceived. We're going to serve our flesh and serve the world. And so the fear of the Lord is that initial bulwark against saying no to sin because of the awe. And even the word awe is used a lot, but it's even more than that. There's profound trembling of the human heart, fear and trembling before the holiness of God. And it's not a slavish fear without relationship, but it is a relationship with God and acknowledging God as God. You know, God is awesome. God is holy. God is transcendent. He's totally other. And humanity was made for him and by him, just struts around and ignores him, ignores God's commandments to our own peril. There's no other reality other than the reality of God. Jesus came to reveal that and to dispel that darkness and say, come on into the kingdom, because that's the only thing that's going to last forever, to not be in the kingdom, to not be ordered under God in relationship that's given to us through Christ, through the shedding of his blood and living in his church. To live as if God doesn't exist is the epitome of foolishness. It's human pride. It's pride of mind. And it's going to lead ultimately to eternal separation from God. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about in these gospel readings the last few days. And so what does he say about, you know, the wise servant? What makes the wise servant wise? What makes the five virgins who were ready and having enough oil in their lamps? What Jesus calls us to over and over again in these sections is two simple things: to watch and to pray. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Am I watching? And to what degree am I watching? Do I have my eye on the Lord? Do I have my eye on what the Lord is doing? And am I cooperating with it? Am I living in a way that's faithful to that watchman posture? Am I both embracing what he's given to me in the commandments and all I'm called to live and doing it the best we can, you know, in our lives with his help and the help of the Spirit and receiving his grace and forgiveness when we fall, because he's always in our corner. He's always there wanting us to continue, and he gives us the grace that we need. I mean, over 20 times we're called in the New Testament to watch. To watch for the return of the Lord, to watch what the Lord is doing, to be his servant, to see the hand of the Lord, where's the Lord guiding, what can I do, and to be alert and to awake to the relationship that he's given to us. You know, so it's so easy to just settle for such a reductive, minimalist approach that we think is enough. That's not enough. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors ourselves. So to watch and to pray. What did Jesus say? You know, without me, you can do nothing. He said, we've taken initiative. The Father and I have taken initiative. And we're calling you into a life of faith, of radical trust and abandonment to us. And we're inviting you to fellowship and communion with us. And we'll help you. We'll lead you. We'll speak to you. But you need to respond. You need to step into it and make it your own. Exercising your freedom and freedom of mind, heart, and will toward God and God's goodness. And then abiding in Jesus, that is, talking to Jesus daily, making it your top priority every day, right? Internalizing his promises. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, Unfailing Promises, which you can get for free right after this radio show. You can call in. You can go to our website at renewalministries.net to help you just lay hold of some of the key promises. There's many, many, there's hundreds of them that God gives us. And we internalize those promises. It changes us. It transforms us. That's an alert mind and an alert, an awakened heart, and a heart that's prayerfully chewing on and receiving and living off of the promises of God. And finally, it's following his leadership. It's following the Lord's leadership personally for our personal lives, our marriages, our families, and saying yes to him. And if we're hungering and thirsting for it, we're going to get it. He'll give it to us. But he only gives to the hungry and the thirsty. People who are indifferent don't get it. Anyway, God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.